Leah Benn, the creative partner for worship at the local church, and you are listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast featuring the messages from our Sunday liturgy. The local church is a bold and inclusive faith community based in Chatham County, North Carolina. We gather for worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in person at Woods Charter School in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and online via Facebook Live and YouTube. No matter where you find yourself physically, spiritually, or emotionally, you belong at the local church. And we're so glad you're here.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John in the New Testament, chapters 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was him. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you've caught no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were able to not haul it in because it was so full of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many of them, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished the breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to them, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. In the bowl there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a song.
Well, good morning. It is so good to be with y'all in worship on this Sunday morning. As Leah shared, my name is Tim Catlett, and I have the privilege to serve as the Executive Director for New Faith Communities for the United Methodist Church here in North Carolina. And what that means is that our office works directly with all congregations from Burlington to the coast that are less than 5 years old. And so from when they are conceived and imagine what it would be like to start something new, all the way to that fifth year, we work directly with pastors and lay leadership teams. And then from year 6 to year 15, that relationship begins to change. And we work indirectly, but still offer support and encouragement along the way. As Leah shared, this is a community in transition. You all are right on that cusp of transitioning from kind of what we consider year 5, year 6, and moving into a new relationship with the annual conference. And so we are celebrating that move for you all and how we might continue to work alongside you. And so as Brent and I began to think about how we might support you all in that move, I was like, I'll come preach. And well, at first I was like, I'll just come and hang out. And he's like, that's great. He's like, 5 minutes tops, come up and talk. I was like, great. And then a few weeks later, he's like, why don't you come preach? I'll be, you know, in that magical place far away. I would love to not come back and have to preach. So then we decided that. And then, you know, 2 days ago he said, can you do all of the things? So COVID has a tendency to do that work as well. But I am so grateful to be here. I was a church planter 14 years ago. And so in 2008, I was part of a church plant right in the Apex area and know what it's like to be in this journey. I know what it's like to be in temporary space, to see setup and teardown. We were being hosted by a church at the time, and we had 50 minutes to set up a contemporary service, do all the worship things, and pack up and be out so they can come back in for their second service. That's how we did church for a while until we found a new space. When we started, our son was a one-year-old. Our daughter was not yet born. Now our son is 15. Our daughter is 13. Our daughter is the tallest female in our family now. Our son is catching me very quickly. And so it is a very different season of life now. But we know a lot of what Brent and his family, what it's like to be starting a new church, a part of something new that's being given birth to, while also watching that happen in your family. And honestly, a lot of those things are similar. A lot of those things, you know, when you start a new family, when you have children for the first time and you're a parent, you realize a lot of that is like church planting. You have no idea what you're doing. So you make it up as you go along. You never feel like you're ready for the next thing that's coming. And you have to rely so deeply on the grace of God and the wisdom of those people who have gone before you to have any chance at even a glimpse of success in what we call parenting. And the same thing's true for what you do. And one thing I so appreciate about this community and those that are like you across our state is I see that fundamental to who you are. A reliance on God, a reliance on the wisdom of those that have gone before you, and a willingness to try new things, even if those new things don't pan out the way that you imagine they might, to take risks, try new things, and see where God is showing up and the Spirit is moving. So more than anything else this morning, he didn't tell me there's birds in here too. That's new for me in preaching. We had birds outside the windows, never inside. More than anything else this morning, I do want to just celebrate with you and say thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the steps of faith you have taken and the ways that you are courageously creating new spaces for new people to gather and commune with Jesus Christ. Before we jump into scripture this morning, I just want to offer a prayer. So let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for what it means to be able to gather here and worship. We thank you for the joy of being with you and with your people, of singing praises, of being in your presence, of knowing your Spirit at work. As we begin to open your word today, Lord, we humbly ask that we might encounter you in these words of Scripture, that we would have ears to hear, hearts that pay attention, that you might lead us to what it means to be liberated as part of your new creation. Lord, lead us this day. In Christ's holy name, amen. This morning, we're going to be looking at John 21, and we already had a chance to hear those words read this morning. If you have a Bible with you, you want to read along on your phones or online, feel free to open up with me. I'm going to be going back to that passage over and over again. But John's gospel, this is John chapter 21, is the last chapter of John's gospel. And John's gospel is unique among the gospels. John is known more as a mystic than the other three, and is really interested in the meaning of how these stories connect across the gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered synoptic gospels, which means they are similar. They tell similar stories in similar order of how these events unfolded in the life of Jesus. John sometimes seems to just pick a story and put it wherever he wants because he wants to make a point about something. And so John weaves these stories together to invite, we believe, the Holy Spirit to really connect these stories that are happening across the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so every time we read John's gospel, we have to pay attention not just to what's happening in the event itself, but how it connects to other stories in Scripture and in the gospel itself. And we'll do some of that work this morning as well. The other thing I find so helpful about the gospels as a whole, but particularly how John teaches, is when John shares what's happening in the life of Jesus, it often feels like there's two things happening at once. One is he wants to tell you the story, and so the story is there present before you. But the other thing is there's always seemingly an invitation on how these words and how this story intersects our lives. And for us, I think it happens in two ways. The first way is I think it invites us to consider what this good news of Jesus means for us. And so as we hear these words this morning, one of the questions I hope we're asking ourselves is, how might this change me? How might this shape me? How might this good news of Christ be an invitation for my life to be transformed? The other thing John is constantly doing is also sending us out. So it's not just about how our lives are transformed, but how we participate in sharing this good news for the transformation of the world, that we might see both happen at once. And so as we go through these verses, I'm going to bring us back to both of those things again and again this morning. We're going to start again in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And I invite you to hear these words again from John's gospel. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said to them, those other disciples, I am going fishing. And they said to Peter, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So where we find ourselves in this last chapter of John is after these things. Now, what are these things? These things are the last few weeks of Jesus' life. These things are Jesus coming into Jerusalem and being betrayed and arrested and tortured and crucified. These things are the resurrection, the Easter celebration, the life after death. These things are two other times where Jesus comes to his disciples. Last week, you talked about Thomas and how Jesus encountered Thomas and what that meant for Thomas and that community. So it's after these things that this passage happens. And what I want us to remember about this is it's a lot easier for us to look back, to see Easter, and instantly apply to Easter the hope of the resurrection. We can look back and say, great, God has defeated death. God has defeated sin. There is new life available. We can sing about it and celebrate it. Before the disciples, they were still very disoriented. This is not what they were experiencing in the moment. If anything, they were experiencing confusion, displacement, disorientation. They're experiencing this question of wondering, what do we do next? And again, you spent a lot of time with Thomas in that last week, but I think we see that again here in these first three verses of John 21. And their response is something that I think we can be very familiar with. And that is when there is disorientation, and confusion, and disruption, and an unknown about what the future might bring, we tend, at least I tend, to have the tendency to go back to what I knew before. I go back to old habits, old patterns, old lives that I knew. And remember, these disciples who were called by Jesus were mostly fishermen. That's what they knew before they set aside their entire lives to follow Christ. And so what do? the first minute they can, the first moment they're apart from Jesus, Peter says, yeah, so we're just sitting around. We don't know what to do. Let's go fishing, right? And all of his buddies say, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And we find this pattern over and over in Scripture. If we go back to the Exodus, you'll remember Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of 400 years of oppression, into the wilderness on the way to the promised land, looking forward to what's possible, a new life, a new community, a new way of being, a new relationship with God. All these things are coming up. Their life in the wilderness gets disrupted. It gets hard. And you know the first thing they say to Moses? Let's go back there. Let's go back to slavery. Let's go back to Egypt, where at least in Egypt, we had meat to eat. They're willing to trade the new promise God was offering for the old way of being. And I see that echoing here in the chapter of John 21. When the disciples did not know what to do, when things got hard and disrupted and they weren't sure what was next, they go backward. And I wonder what that teaches us today. You know, we have spent the last, 2 to 3 years in a disruptive period, a time where life has not been easy. For many of us, that's still the case. For many around the world, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members are still going through this same season of asking the question, what's next? And for many of us, we don't know what's next. We're still waiting for what's next. We're wondering what life will be like next. Many of you heard, I know I've read about all over the place, this idea of the Great Resignation. Harvard Business Review last week wrote an article asking, is it actually not just the Great Resignation, but the Great Rethink? They're kind of reimagining what it might be. Is this actually just people pausing and rethinking who they are becoming after this last 3 years? This is a quote from the article where the author writes this. He says, a friend of mine, I call him Jim, was in the running for a C-suite job at his company, a consumer packaged goods firm. I've known him for years, and he'd always seemed happy and fulfilled in his career. So imagine my surprise when not long ago I got this two-word text message from Jim. I quit. I texted him back asking if everything was okay. I expected that he would reference a dispute with another leader or a business decision gone bad. Instead, he said this: I'm becoming the kind of person I don't want to be. I'm becoming the kind of person I don't want to be. I think for the first time in a long time, this person was able to pause and see that happening and stop it. Say, maybe I want to be somebody else. Maybe I want my life to look differently. And so he begins to rethink what that could look like and is actually taking tangible steps to move in that direction. And so the first question that I want to ask us to reflect on this morning is, are you becoming the person you want to be? After this season in our world, in your lives, are you becoming the person? Are you looking more like Jesus each and every day? Are you loving like Jesus? Are you living the life that you want to live? Are you living a life that reflects who you are and who you dream to be, who God created you to be? And if not, are there things in your life that you need to rethink? Or are you, like I often do, are we just going back to the way things were? Is that our ambition? Is that our aspiration? There's good news, I promise. The good news is this is what Jesus does. We're going to keep going. John 21, verse 4. When his disciples are faced with this disruption, when his disciples are faced with uncertainty, when his disciples are going backwards, this is what Jesus does. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. Jesus shows up. This is one of the best news of the gospel. The best news of the gospel is that when we are in disruption, when we don't know what's next, Jesus comes and lives among us. This is the good news of incarnation. Incarnation is God puts on flesh and moves into the neighborhood. God is with us. John Wesley says the best news is God is with us. This is what we celebrate in the good news, is that God never leaves us. God is with us. And this is where I want to ask both questions. The first is, what does that mean for you? Well, what it means for us is it means that no matter how hard our life feels at the moment, we have a God that never leaves us, a God that is with us, a Holy Spirit that moves alongside of us, and that we are never alone in this journey. The other piece of this is an invitation. And this is where I am so thankful for the DNA of the local church. Your mantra, your mission is love where you are, right? This is who you're called to be. This is what it means to be the local church. It's to love where you are. It's to love in your neighborhood, in your working spaces, in your places where you live, work, and play. You are called to go be God's love. And if we're to live in the way of Jesus, this is also what we're called to do. We're invited to show up. When we see people around us going through uncertainty or going through disruption or seeing their lives that are moved in ways they weren't expecting, part of our response must be to show up. That's who God calls us to be. And so again, one thing I just want to say to y'all this morning is keep doing what you're doing. Keep living into that mission. Keep being a church that is showing up where people are. That isn't just about a building or a space. I mean, this is the nice thing about planting churches is that nobody's like, we just love your wooden pews. Like, it's just fantastic. Or your stained glass windows, right? Like, the space is just a space. It's a temporary space that is being used for the kingdom. Because the church is about moving outside of any walls that you're in to go being where people are. So I just would encourage you to continue to live fully into that. Now, this next verse might be one of my favorite things to invite us into. This is actually John chapter 21, verse 9. This is how Jesus does this, right? So he shows up, but he also does something. He says this, when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And then in verse 12, it says, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast, right? So when Jesus shows up, you know what Jesus does? He brings food. They eat together, right? They eat together. They share a meal together. Now, I love to eat. Like, I love to eat with people. I love to break bread with people. I love to be around table. Like, part of what I love, again, about the local church is you have centered your worship around the table. Like, the good news of this table is that we are invited to eat together, and in eating together, we are reminded what it means to be present with God and be present with each other. We experience in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup the Holy Spirit among us. And then we are able to share that with each other because this is the invitation. The invitation is to go be those kinds of people. To go be the presence of Christ in the world. You are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, anointed by the Holy Spirit to be sent into the world to be God's presence. And one way we do that is we create space to connect with each other, often around table. I know one thing coming up for y'all is a happy hour at House of Hops in a few weeks. And that's just one way. You're creating space around table to eat and drink together and be with each other, to create space to gather. You know, one of the ethoses of what it means to be a community is just to create space for meals. And again, I would invite you to pay attention for your own spirit, your own soul, but also for those around you. Where might you practice the presence of Christ? By creating space at table, where by our very own invitation, we remind people that all are welcome at these tables. All are welcome to gather. And that you, by your presence, are with someone else. And they, by their presence, are with you. And you're embodying the presence of Christ together. So continue to practice that hospitality. Continue to be people who eat together, who share bread together, who create space to be with each other. Because in that practice, you are creating space for the Holy Spirit to be alive in each other. The last thing I'll share this morning is this. This is from John 21, verse 15, because there's a purpose to what we do. And I don't want us to miss this. When we ask the question, are we becoming the kinds of people God wants us to be or that we want to become, there's a particular kind of person we're seeking to become. We want to become like Jesus. We want to reflect the character of Jesus. It's not just, are we becoming the people that, you know, the United States or our culture or our community wants us to become. This isn't an American dream aspiration. This is a gospel aspiration. So this is what Jesus does, and I want you to pay attention. This is chapter 21, verse 15. He says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, so he pulls Peter with him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. He does this three times. And this, again, I think is where John connects this story to somewhere else. If we go backward in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, we see Jesus talk to Peter and tell Peter, as I move into this next season of my life, you're going to deny me three times. If you know the story, what Peter says is, basically, Jesus, you're crazy. I love you. I'll do anything for you. I'll never deny you. Fast forward a few chapters, and sure enough, before the rooster crows, Peter has denied Jesus three times. Peter fails. But this is the good news of the gospel and the good news of John. Jesus knew he was going to fail. Jesus watched him fail. And Jesus did not leave him in his failure. We will fail. God knows we will fail. And God's promise is to never leave us in our failure. So three times, Jesus does a redemptive work in Peter and reminds Peter not only of Peter's love for Jesus, but of Jesus' love for Peter, and that when you move into new life, you also move into new mission. If you love me, if you're redeemed by me, if we are reconciled, move away from your shame and your guilt and all the things we carry with failure and move into something new where your being can be about feeding my sheep. Carry that freedom, that liberation into the world. That's Jesus' challenge to Peter. Too often, I think we hold on to a shame or a guilt because of our failure that God no longer holds. So this morning, I just want to leave you with a few reflection questions. One is this. Where is God calling you next? And do you feel the freedom to move into the kind of person God is inviting you to become? The second is, are there people in your life right now who you know are disoriented, you know are disrupted, you know are seeking direction? And where is God inviting you to create space to be God's presence in their lives? Where is God inviting you to create space to be God's presence for each other? Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come together this morning, we're reminded of your Holy Spirit among us, of your promise, Emmanuel, to be with us, to never leave us or abandon us. And even as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, that we shall fear no evil because our shepherd walks alongside of us. Lord, give us the courage to receive that freedom, to receive that liberation, and give us the boldness to carry it with us everywhere we go as we seek to be a people who reflect you and all the places where we live, work, and play. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Hey, it's Leah again. If you love what you hear, share this episode or send it to someone who could use a little good news this week. We'd also love for you to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. For more information about The Local Church, visit thelocalchurchpbo.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Local Church PBO. Until next time, love where you are.